Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
For some preaching? We'll see. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the mighty name of Jesus. And God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and that it's active and that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that you'd use this word to change us, to challenge us, to convict us. God, we so desperately need you to speak into our lives. And so, Lord, we pray today you would do just that, Father, that we would not leave here the same way that we came. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So in my life, I have had the opportunity to go snorkeling before. And have you guys ever had the chance to go snorkeling before? It's fun. You know, you put your face in the water, you got your little tube, and you're going for it. You can see fish and all those other things. Now, one of the things I've never done is I've never gone scuba diving. Now, scuba diving is much different than snorkeling. Snorkeling, you're at the top, you've got the little tube, and if anything goes wrong, you just put your face up, and you're all the way nice. You're ready to go. Scuba, it's a little bit different story. You put an air tank on your back, and you go down into the deep water, and if something goes wrong, you are trusting that air tank. Amen? Today, what I think God wants to talk to you about is this, is that some of you guys are living snorkeling Christianity and not scuba Christianity. You're in the water, you're wet, you're breathing, and you think you're trusting God, but you're not. Because the reality is that God wants you to be in the deep water. God wants you to be so deep with the Jesus air tank on your back where the only thing that you have to lean on is Him and Him alone. Not this halfway, somewhat trying to do it, living on the top layer, pretending like you're trusting God when in all reality, you're not. Today we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. If you're just joining us, this is what we do. We go through the Bible line by line, precept by precept. We've been in Mark now for about a year and a half, and we're going to finish it when it's done. But we just kind of take our time going through it. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 23 through 31. It says this. It says, then Jesus looked around at all and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. What's going on in this scripture? Well, first and foremost, these guys are coming to Jesus and looking for Jesus to speak into their lives. And so Jesus uses the example of a camel in the eye of the needle. And he says, you know what? A camel cannot go through the eye of a needle. And just like it's hard for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, it is next to impossible for a rich man to be able to make it into heaven. But Jesus says, with God it is impossible, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then he goes on to say, hey, but don't worry, anything that you've left, anything that you've lost, you are going to get it back in this lifetime and the lifetime to come, because those that are last will be first, and the first shall be last. So let's get into this. The first thing is this, and let's just get into it. Are you trusting in riches? No. Okay, let's keep going. All right. Are you trusting in riches? Because when Jesus is talking about this, what he is talking about is that the difference between a person that has money and a person who is had by money is that they are trusting in their riches. And so he uses the example of there's a needle. And what's interesting about this is that a lot of preachers have preached this, and a lot of individuals have, and a lot of preachers have preached this. Is everything okay? What's going on with all the bells and whistles, man? I can't pay attention. Leave it alone. Quit pushing the buttons. You guys figuring it out? Jeez, man. I'm trying to preach a sermon, it's ding dong, ding dong. Anyway, back to you guys loving your money. So Jesus uses the example and says if there's a big camel and a small needle, he's not going to get through it. A lot of preachers have preached and said that there was gates around Jerusalem and there was big gates and there were small gates and the small gate was the needle gate. And the camels would have to get down on their knees and bow and be humble to be able to get through the small gate. And that's a great sermon story. It's just not the truth. The truth is, if you look at the history of it, is the small gates in the walls of Jerusalem weren't built until like the 5th century. And so while it makes for good sermon fodder, it's just not true. The truth is, in this instance, Jesus is specifically talking about a needle. And so when he talks about that needle, he says, you know what? There is no chance on this earth that a camel can go through a small needle. But with God, it's possible. The other part, he says, is a man that trusts riches and tries to get into heaven has just as much chance as a camel going through the eye of a needle. Which is basically, it ain't going to happen. If you think that you're a person that trusts in riches and you're going to make it into heaven, you will not make it into heaven. This is why you see many more poor people who believe in God than rich people, because they have to depend on Him. Rich people don't have to depend on God. They can buy whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They can treat people however they want because they got a checkbook that'll buy them out of any situation. Poor people have to trust in God. You know, it's interesting. We were down in Mexico and we built this house for the family of 6 that were living in a room that was 10 by 10. And even before they got the house, they were still trusting and praising God. I mean, this whole family was involved in their church. There's guys that were on the worship team and everything else. Fully trusting God in the midst of circumstances that honestly most of us couldn't handle for a weekend. But they trusted God in the midst of their lack. See, the problem is that you're already thinking about rich people that you know. You're thinking about it in your head and you're thinking, yeah, those rich people, they're never going to make it into heaven. But let me make it hurt a little bit. You're the rich person. If you are an American and you are if you live somewhere that has running water and electricity and a microwave oven and a flat screen even if you got a tube television, man, you're rich. You're rich by the world's standards. Don't for one second think, well, I can't go on this vacation that I want to, and I can't get this new smartphone that I want to, and you know, if I had this car, then I'd be rich. No, dude, if you take public transportation, you got the means to be able to do it, you're rich. You got the means to put food in your belly, you're rich. And so for one second, don't even think about the scripture and say, yeah, who are those rich people? The rich people are you. And if you really think about it that way, the reality is when Jesus says it's next to impossible for a rich person to enter into heaven, you need to check your heart. Because if you love your riches more than you love Jesus, Jesus says you will not make it into heaven. Luke 12:15, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. But this is the America that we live in, man. We judge people based on what they drive and where they live and what kind of clothes that they wear and what kind of jobs that they have. You know, it's interesting. When we were in Mexico, I met this wonderful man. He friends with me on Facebook. I posted a picture. His name's Carlos. He's just handsome, man. He's got eyes that are beautiful. And I was sitting working on the sermon this week, and I was reflecting on meeting him. And I missed him this week because me and him were able to talk and fellowship a lot over the weekend. And I was missing him, and I was thinking, you know, I never asked that guy what he drove. I never asked him what kind of house he lived in. I didn't say, hey, man, show me your smartphone. Which one do you have? Yeah, you got the new blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I'm going to throw mine away in 2 years too, man. Show it to me. It's awesome. Some of you will get that later on in your drive home. I'm telling you, man, there's little gnomes in that thing. They're only going to last 24 months. They all break. What impressed me about Carlos was his deep love for God and people. Who he was enough to have me be intrigued about who he is. I'm asking you this morning, where are you trusting? Have you lost the connection to trusting God and are now trusting yourself? Have you put your faith in your job and your abilities instead of in God? Because it happens to all of us, man. You get to this point where you begin to trust your paycheck instead of trusting Jesus. And here's what's interesting. People come to me and say, Pastor, pray for me. I need a job. Pray for me. I need a job. And I say, great, let's pray and God's going to get you a job. And then they're gone and you never see them again. I see people that say, Pastor, pray for me for a job. Pray for me for a job. And then I preach on tithing and people are like, well, why you guys have always been wanting to take all my money? I'm like, hold on here, man. You had nothing. You had zilch, zero zilch. And you prayed, God, bless me with a job. And God goes, I just want 10% back. And you're like, I don't want to give you 10%. 10% of nothing is nothing. And so you have nothing, and then you have something, and then you don't want to give God back what He gave you of everything. It makes no sense. I'm confused. Because you love your stinking money. And the reality is you don't even, you sit there and you're like, oh, I love my money. And if I, and here's what happens, man, is that people live in this world, well, they'll take money and they'll be like, you know what? If I just had more of this, I just need it. You know, you lay in bed and you're like, oh, if I could just get that promotion, if I could just get that new job. And then if I had that money, I would just love it. And I would be taken care of. I would be happy. Dude, this is not the dividing line between your happiness. It's not, man. It's funny, we're in Mexico. Everything I needed was in a bag I was carrying on my back. There wasn't a moment I was sitting there thinking, man, I really wish I could get some cable TV out here. It just doesn't happen. Not at all. Here's what the Bible says. You've got to break yourself from the love of money and stuff if you're going to make it to heaven. Jesus says, for the eye of the needle, it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a money-loving person to get into heaven. Yeah. Let that sink in, man. Yeah. The people that love their money more than they love Jesus, the camel will go through the eye of the needle easier. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Money in itself isn't evil. Like, it's coming after me. It's just a piece of paper, man. You know, it's funny. You go out to someone in the middle of nowhere and try to give them our money and be like, here you go. They'll be like, what is this for? Because it's benign. It's worthless. It's the love of it that is evil. Money can do great things, but it's the love of it that is the root of all kinds of evil. The Bible says in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve money and God at the same time. It's impossible. Either you love this and you hate God, or you love God and you hate this. There's no in between. There's no, I kind of like the money. Love it a little bit. You know what's funny is people always want to argue with me about tithing and money and all those other things. And here's the reality, man, is that this is why I love tithing and giving money away, is that when you, it's funny, I did a sermon example about this on first Sunday, and then I got all this money back. Because people kept giving me the more money back. Because, and here you go, here's $2. And here you can just have it all. Like, dude, I don't need it either. I don't love it. I don't even care. It's just paper. And what's funny is it whenever I give away money, it breaks me of the love of it. So if you want to argue about tithing and they're always like, well, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, and 10%, what did God really mean? I'm like, this is what God really meant. Break yourself of the love of money. And if somehow 10% is a good start to break you of it, start there. And if it doesn't work at 10%, make it 15. And if you're still not there, make it 20. At some number, you're going to get broken of your love of money. Just keep going until you get there. And here's the thing. It's whenever a preacher talks about money, people are always like, hey, it's easy for him to say, oh, he wants is our money. I don't need one stinking dollar from you, man. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. Because I actually believe that God is my provider. I believe it to the point that I can come down here on a Sunday, tell you what you don't want to hear, and God is still going to meet my needs. Because I'm not trusting in you as my provider. I'm trusting in Jesus as my provider. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Give it away and see how much power it has over you. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." Think about this, man. Riches are what choke out the word. That's what it says in Mark 4:19, "And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering choke the word and it becomes unfruitful." Check your heart, man. Destroy your love of money. People say, "Well, it never happened to me." Dude, sit down with me, man. I can show you 50 people that fell in love with money and started serving money instead of serving God. I know it. And people say, "Well, you know, I'm sealed. I'm in the palm of the hand. I can never use it." Dude, great. But this guy is currently bowing to mammon more than he is bowing to God. Yes. Stop loving your money. Stop loving your money. Now, here's the good news, especially for you rich Americans. "And they were greatly astonished, saying among themselves, well, who then can be saved?" I mean, it's no different back then, right? I mean, you might find this as interesting, but people back in Bible times loved money as well. This isn't a new American invention, man. This is why the Bible is a timeless book, because it still applies 2,000 years later. These guys asked the question like, "Well, what the heck, man? Who then can be saved? Because everybody loves money." You guys afraid to amen now? You're like, "Not me, Pastor. That first point in the sermon, it delivered me from it. I've been set free. Hallelujah." Oh, dude, who then can make it? I mean, here's the reality, man, is that it takes money to do what you need to do, right? You got to pay for gas and food and cars and kids' stuff for school. Jeez. If I can't get an amen on that, I don't know what I can get an amen for. What Jesus is saying here is really quite the opposite. It is possible for a rich man to get into heaven. It is possible, but only with God. Only with God. See, because he says with a camel, there's no way the camel can get through the eye of a needle except with God. And then he says there's no way a rich man can enter into heaven except with God. And all the rich people said, amen. So you can make it. It is possible for a rich person to be saved, but it is impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle unless it's God that does it. It is impossible for a rich man to make it into heaven unless God does it. And this statement about the scripture, it's not a statement about having faith to be able to do big enough stuff. This scripture specifically is talking about the possibility of a rich person being able to make it into heaven. And again, don't be thinking about the people that you know that are making much more money than you. You are the rich American. You are. Okay? If your toilet flushed this morning, you are a rich American. Okay?
Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, here's the main point I want you to think about this, okay? It is impossible for a rich person to get into heaven by his wealth. It's not how much they give. It's not by how much they buy and they give away. Not by any act of his own righteousness. Only through the grace of God and the belief in Jesus as Savior will you get to heaven. Amen. You can't write a check. God is not impressed with a check. It's all about heart. You know, last month I was talking to one of my pastor friends at another church, and he was sharing with me a guy at his church that was talking to him about tithing. And the guy in his church was like, "Yeah, I don't know how I feel about tithing, and I like to give my money to other places because, you know, that's what greedy people like to do. They like to choose where their money goes instead of giving it to God." And so, and that hurts, doesn't it? Because it's the truth. And so he was talking to him, and he said, and he was asking the pastor, he said, "So what then should I do?" He goes, "Man, the Bible's clear, man. You got to give it to the local church. That's where God wants the tithe to go, because that's the way he supports the ministry. That's how the gospel's being spread." He's like, "What about all these other things?" That's great, man. You can give even more than your tithe and go make that other stuff happen, and it'll break you of your love of money. And so the guy was like, "Well, I don't know how I believe about that, how I feel about that." And so next week comes to church, And he says to me, he goes, hey, pastor, I just want to let you know I was convicted and I studied it out. And I realized that God does want 10% and I'm going to give it to the local church. And so you'll see it in there today, man. I just want to let you know that I'm going to be obedient to God. And so my friend, you know, he knows what's going on in his church. And so the guy wrote a tithe check for $60,000. And if you guys don't know, it's 10% of what you make. So he wrote a $60,000 tithe check. And I was like, was it made out to Faith and Victory? Because, you know, he had told me that, you know, he told the guy, any church is good. And I was like, well, maybe Faith and Victory popped into his mind. Here's why I tell you that story, is that I don't care if that guy wrote a check for $600,000. If he's not in love with Jesus, God does not care. He ain't impressed. There's no, like, the guy that's making $600 that tithes 60 is in the exact same place as the guy that tithes 60,000. And a guy that tithes 60 bucks and his heart's in the gutter and he loves his $60 more than he loves Jesus, good luck, pal. And I should share that story because it's not about the number, man. It's about the heart. What God is looking for is for a people that have a heart turned towards Him above anything else. And honestly, how can we as Christian people stand before God and other people and say, man, I love Jesus more than I love anything in the world except for my money? It is possible with God. If you love Jesus more than anything, you can make it to heaven regardless of how much money you make. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, but after this judgment. Everybody in here is going to die one day, and then you're going to face the judgment of God upon your death. And you're only going to have one option. Either Jesus is my advocate or Jesus is not. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible says in Romans 10:19, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says in Matthew 7:21 through 23, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name? In thy name did they not do many wonderful works? Did we not cast out demons? And I will say to those people, away from me, you evildoers, for I never knew you. The only thing that impresses God is righteousness by faith, believing that I am a vile, empty, heaping pile of steaming dung without Jesus. The only thing I have to play in this world is my relationship with God. If Jesus forgives me, I am forgiven. And that is all I have. That is the only faith in this world. What does it mean to you? You must live in a constant awareness of where your heart is at. You have to, man. All day, every day. What is your number one love? And here's the thing, man. I don't say that to you because you're, you know, one covetous thought of about losing your salvation. I'm just saying the Bible is abundantly clear that the deceitfulness of riches and the deceitfulness of the love of money has pulled many people away from the faith. Many people. The Bible doesn't say that just because God's some cosmic killjoy. I mean, honestly, man. I mean, God is gracious enough to still leave us some. So you can, you know, go to Walmart and get you a nice shirt. Hallelujah. I make Walmart look good. You think I'm lying, man? Psh, Walmart, pow. And I'm not immune. I'm not. I'm just... I talked about this in first service, and I thought it'd be easier second time, but it's not. I really don't enjoy being vulnerable with you guys. I don't get any real pleasure out of it. The only reason why I do it is because I feel that if I'm not vulnerable with you, how can I expect you to be honest with me? Okay? I don't know how I can say this as humbly as possible. This is really humble. Okay. Dude, I'm a fantastic preacher. Dude, I mean it as humbly as possible, man. Listen, I know my gift. I can't do times tables. My wife has to explain movies while we're watching them. Sometimes she's paused. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I can't follow. Like, what's going on? True story. Is it true? Man, God was going through the lines and looked at Matt Krachunas and said, you're going to be a preacher, and that's all I got. It's a gift, man. I wish I could describe to you how easy this is for me. It's not work at all, man. This is just a gift. And with that gift comes a great responsibility. Because here's the reality. Okay? Our church, starting with six people 14 years ago, and now the Lord is blessing us, and we're neighboring in the church in the neighborhood of like 500 people. If everybody showed up, it'd be like 550 probably. Every single week, we get 15 visitors at least. Look at that over the course of 4 to 5 years. It's about 4,000 people that have walked through the doors of this church. And you guys have your struggles, and you know what mine is? Is that as our church begins to grow, more and more, Satan attacks me and says, you know, why don't you soften the message a little bit? Why don't you just bring it back a little bit? You know what I mean? Because you got all these visitors coming in, and if you made them feel a little bit good about themselves, you probably wouldn't be, you know, making people angry on their first visit so they never want to come back. Right? Bigger church, bigger paycheck. You know, I get to drive a 7-year-old car instead of an 11-year-old car. You know what I mean? I don't have to buy Walmart on clearance. I can buy it while it's just fresh out. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a struggle, man. Because the truth is, with the skills and ability that God has given me, there's no reason why I can't pander to a crowd and create a church of 2,000 people, man. No problem. None at all. I know I have those skills and ability inside of me. And it's a satanic draw within my heart to keep me from doing what God has asked me to do. Now on the flip, and I'm not saying it because I'm in some sort of false humility. I'm just being 100% honest about the stuff that goes on inside of my head because I'm not immune to it, man. I'm not. But I so desperately want to honor God, man. I would rather come down here and tell you something that you don't want to hear and look at God and say, Father, I did what you asked of me. I read what was in the book. I told them what it said. I don't want to stand before God and be a person that didn't do my due diligence, that didn't do what God has asked me to do. The only possible way to get to heaven is through belief that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins, man. That's it. Fight the world's wanting to pull you into something that's not of God, man. Fight it. Now listen, it is possible to get to heaven and make a ton of money and have big stuff, but you must love Jesus and his church more than you love your stuff. Yeah. It's not impossible. It's just hard. You've got to believe Jesus Christ paid the penalty for my sin. Receive that and then live completely for him. Not some halfway snorkeling, everybody saw, got wet, I was in the water kind of faith. I'm talking about people can't even see me because I'm so deep in my trust of God that I'm below the surface, that if anything goes wrong, I'm totally and completely trusting in him for everything in my life. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Folks, we must live for Jesus in everything that we do. And I know I preach this every single week, and it's because it's true. You have to in everything. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 7:1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. It's interesting. People that are striving to live for Jesus never get tired of hearing that truth. Because here's the truth. You should never forget what God has saved you from. Ever. And here's what happens, man. You're in the muck and you're in the mire and you're like, oh, I need you, Jesus, and save me and fix my marriage and fix my life. And then a few years later, you're a self-righteous, demanding, I ain't going to that church. It's so hot in that church and I can't find a parking spot and the guy talks bad at us. Dude, you deserved hell. Like that was your inheritance. Lapse in the lake of fire. That's what you were going to get. And God said, no, I choose you. I'm going to set you up on a pedestal and I'm going to bless you. And if you ever lose sight of that, and that's really when you start talking about love and forgiveness with people, that's when it goes wrong. Because if you always remember that you deserved hell and someone does you wrong and you look at them like, dude, I deserved hell. I don't even care what we're arguing about anymore. I love you. Let's just make up. It's not worth it. I should have gone to hell, but now I'm sitting here arguing about something that doesn't even matter because I came self-righteous. Believe it's possible to live for Jesus. Believe that you're going to heaven and live like it. Matthew 10:37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Folks, you must lose your life. Every last part of it. There shouldn't be an ounce of you that lives inside that says, this is mine. And I'm going to hold on to this. And God can never get inside of it. You need to lose every last part of what you desire and what you want so you can live wholly and completely for Jesus. Now here's the good news, man. Some of you guys are like, God, that's so mean. There's this good at the end. Jesus knew what he was doing when he would beat people up. Because here's the good news, man. Jesus said to these guys, and Peter began to say, we've left all and followed you. Jesus answered and said, listen, assuredly, but I think it was more like listen. I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or wife or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age and in the life to come. Here's the reality, man. When you give it all up to Jesus, you're going to get it back. Okay? Make no mistake about it, man. You cannot outgive God. You can't outrun his blessings. But the path to it is you can't lose to try to win. You can't give to try to get. You have to literally be in a position where you're like, I'm done fighting you, God. I'm giving you everything. And I want you to have everything. And then when you finally come to that place, then God begins to give it back to you. But you have to truly believe it in your heart. I ask you, can you honestly say that you have left all to follow Jesus? Can you say that, man? Or have you merely made some life adjustments? Are you a snorkeler or are you a scuba diver? Because you know if you are. You know if you're a snorkeler or a scuba diver. Now listen. This isn't to say you got to go out and quit your job tomorrow. Please don't do that. First service, a guy texted his job and was like, I quit. And I was like, the sermon isn't over. Wait. He didn't do that, but it's funny. Don't go to work tomorrow and quit your job, okay? Because that's not what Jesus is asking these guys to do. What Jesus is saying that there shouldn't be anything in your heart above me, okay? Christians are supposed to be workers. The Bible made it abundantly clear that the curse of Adam was that we were going to have to work and have jobs. Thank you, Adam. Colossians 3:23, and whatever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For I hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Folks, you got to work. Only Don. Thank you, Pastor Don. God teaches us something in our work. You've got to be in that evil world bringing people to Jesus, man. You've got to show them an example to the evil people of the world what God can do with somebody who's fully submitted to him. Never be ashamed of being a person that God can bless, ever. Now, I understand that there are many people that experience calamity on this side of heaven. Following Jesus is costly. It's going to cost you everything. But the honest truth is that I have seen a lot of people that have gone through calamity and come out on the other side better than they started. I know it, man. I trust in God's ability to be able to take care of people. And I understand that it's hard to go through that stuff, but God is desiring that you would be in a place where you fully trust him above all else. You know, when I first graduated from college, I joined the U.S. Army, and there's a lot of reasons why I did it. But one of the things I loved about the U.S. Army is that you got paid. Like when you're part of the Army, dude, you could spend your last dollar the night before, and you knew right at midnight, deposit time. It was fantastic. You couldn't outspend your check because it came every single month. There's a certain trust in that, man. Then after that, I went to work for a Fortune 500 company. Fortune 500 company worth $4 billion. Dude, you're getting paid. Like, you don't have to worry about it. I wasn't waiting every... That check cleared every single Friday, no matter what. And then I went full-time in the ministry. Now, I don't know if you guys know how this works, but in most Christian churches in America, part of what happens with a pastor when they're working full time for the church is that the church pays the pastor. And I'll tell you, man, it's really hard when you go from I just got to show up to the Fortune 500 company to I've got to create an organization where God brings people in. I tell them what they don't want to hear and believe that they're going to come back and continue to support the ministry. And if you've been at this church for the last 10 years, you know, probably about, I really got saved about 6 or 7 years ago. But for those first years of the ministry, honestly, I was afraid, man. I was afraid to preach what God had put on my heart because I was afraid, man, they're going to leave and then I'm not going to get paid and then I'm not going to be able to provide for my family. And it was only at the point where I was like, you know what, God, you are my provider. I'm going to trust you. I know that you can take care of me. You can take care of my family. And honestly, if the story of my life is I was honest and I lost everything, I'm completely fine with that being my story. Because then I'm just going to write a tell-all book with all your guys' secrets. I'm just kidding, no. But honestly, this is the reason why. I'm just kidding, brother. That was funny though, wasn't it? That wasn't even my notes. That was just funny. But honestly, I think that this is why God has pastors over churches, is because take Matt out of the example for a minute, okay? Any church that you go to, there's a pastor that's being supported by the ministry. And if that person is walking with God and showing you what faithfulness looks like, you should be able to look at their life and say, do you know what? I can trust God. I can live how God has asked me to live. And as God provides for the man of God in the church, God's going to provide for me as well, because you're not my provider, man. Like, God is my provider. Your job is not your provider. God is your provider. Amen. Now, here's where it really gets good. In verse 30, it says that along with the hundredfold return, you get persecutions. Yeah. Amen for persecutions. You guys didn't amen me very hard on that one. Like, it's exciting to get persecution. Because here's the deal. When you're really living for Jesus, people aren't going to like you that much. They're just not. And I'm not saying you have to go out and be a Christian jerk. I'm just saying that, like, when you zealously live for God and you choose to stand on His word and you refuse to bend in business transactions, and I mean, people aren't going to like you because of that. But you know what? God's going to like you. You have to know that if I'm going to live like this, it's going to come with persecutions. There's a gentleman that attends our church, and he had a job change because he was working at a company where the boss asked him to fudge some numbers and he refused to do it. Yeah, it's really bad when it's the aerospace industry. Making parts in the planes that you're flying in. Just being honest. What does it mean to you? You must live with the reality of being generous and not always wanting. You have to live with an understanding of knowing that God is going to take care of every last one of your needs. Amen. Philippians 2:17, yes, if I am being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. You know, in Acts 21, Paul was supposed to go to Jerusalem, and the people were there with him, and they said, you know what, don't go. It's not going to be good for you. And this is what Paul said in Acts 21:13. Then Paul answered, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? Because he was leaving. He said, for I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem in the name of the Lord Jesus. That was Paul's heart. He was ready to die. Some of y'all can't even check in on Facebook that you're at church because you're afraid of offending your friends. Honestly, you got dead people on four sides of you in your house and you won't even invite them to church. Because you're afraid of what they're... Then I'd have to actually live like a Christian at my house. Paul was ready to die. It's an all or nothing proposition, folks. We've got to be prepared to live totally and completely for Jesus. What 1 Peter 2:20, we're rounding the corner, just a few more minutes here. 1 Peter 2:20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently, but when you do good and suffer, and if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. Is there benefits of being a Christian? Yeah, man, of course there is. It's just not in this scripture right here. My professor used to say in college, every sermon left to itself is heresy. You've got to take it all, okay? We get freedom from our past sins. Not, you guys aren't excited. I am. I'm excited I get freedom from my past sins. I get to live a guilt-free life. I get the blessings of provision and peace. God blessing the work of your hands and protecting you from the hand of the enemy. Folks, when you live for God, you will be the head and not the tail. Your life will be an example to the world that God can use the foolish things of the world to influence the world, but you're going to be persecuted for it, man. And you just have to be comfortable with it. My own family doesn't like me. They don't. They think I'm a religious zealot that takes this too seriously. Sorry, man. I just think it was meant to be taken seriously. And if my family doesn't like me for it, then I'm fine with it because I'm going to answer to God for it. Last thing, and then we'll go. Last to be first, first should be last. You've got to think about that in your mind, man. Sometimes when you're living for Jesus, you just got to be okay with being last. It's okay. God's going to take care of every last detail in your life. And sometimes it means that you've got to, like, lose. Sometimes you've just got to be like, it's fine, and God's going to take care of it. You don't always have to put everything into your own hands and try to make it right. Either God is watching or he's not. Either he's doing things or he isn't. And if he is, which he is, and he does, which he does, he's going to take care of every last detail as you fully submit to him. Don't love your riches and you'll go to heaven. Amen? Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? Hey, before we get out of here, I want to ask you this question. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to do it today. It's really quite easy. Either you're living for Jesus or you're not. And if you're not living for Jesus, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your heart to him right now. And it's really quite easy. You just make a decision. You say, man, I'm done living for myself. I want to do whatever it is that God is asking me. I don't want to love my money. I don't want to love anything more than I love Jesus. I want to be forgiven of my sins. I want to live for him. And if you've never made that decision before, I want you to raise your hand right now and say, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. Is there anybody that needs to do that for the first time? Amen. Are you ready? Is today the day? Today's the day. Would you do me a favor? Would you walk forward right now and my wife will pray with you? Come here. Walk up here. Come on. Amen. Hey, man, if you can't get, she's going to pray with you. It's done at this point. I know it seems weird, but it's fine. I'm proud of you. It's awesome. Hey, if you can't stand up in a room full of Christians and say, I'm ready to live for Jesus, where can you do it? Where else can you do it? Today's a great day. Is there anybody else that needs to make that decision for the first time today? 14 years of ministry is worth one soul. Some other ministry did it for you. Is there anybody else that needs to make that decision for the first time? Okay. Father, we thank you for our new sister in the faith. God, we thank you that you moved in her heart today, God, as she's placing her trust in you. Father, we pray that she would experience your grace and mercy like all of us have, God, that she would live wholly and completely for you. And God, I pray for all of us today, God, that you would just root out anything in us that's not of you. Father, that our lives would be changed by your grace and your grace alone. And God, we thank you for the provision of money in our lives. God, but break us from the love of it, God. We don't want to love it more than we love you. And so whatever you need to do to change that in us, God, we pray that you do it. Father, we thank you that you're God that hears. We thank you that you're God that redeems. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. Amen.
Amen. Can we have everybody stand up? Take the hand of your neighbor. I'm just going to close in a quick prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for being so faithful to tell us exactly what we need to hear to get us closer to your heart and to be in right relationship with you, God. Thanks for loving us so much that you tell us the truth. God, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would go with us out of this place and that you would empower us to live according to your word, Lord. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Go get your kids. AMC, coffee and treats. Get to know each other better.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.